I think you should start this time.
Think I should start? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah, I have to because I'm the leader. I don't know. I had no because.
Well, did you do the voice last time?
I think I did. Yeah.
Okay. Because apparently that's the rule.
Well, no, I forgot the rules because you never follow them.
So you forgot them? It's been so long.
I have no idea what the rules are.
That's typically how rules work.
As you know, this is the measure of an episode where it is our continuing mission. Continuing. To explore what makes Star Trek genuine Star Trek and not just pretty good TV. I would say pretty good TV.
I really, and not just Lost, but I really appreciated how Picard really wanted to make it Lost and Jack just wasn't having it. But we'll get to that.
And I'm Paul.
And I'm Jonathan. And we do this using three criteria. The first is there sci-fi needed for the plot to happen? Is that sci-fi presented? Number two is that sci-fi presented in a unique or novel fashion? And number three, is there a moral, ethical, or philosophical dilemma that a character faces? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Paul. And this week, we watched Picard, Season 3, Episode 9, Vox. And I'm saying it that way because that's how they say it in the episode, number one. And number two, I don't know if that's a word with a little tilde above the O.
It is. It's Makron. It's Latin. It's
what
Vox.
Does it mean?
Well, so it means voice. And the whole phrase is Vox Populi, which means voice of the people.
I knew that part.
Okay.
But I've never seen that word with the tilde over the O.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like the writer accidentally held down his O for too long. And it like popped
and
up the special
and nobody questioned
set.
It because they thought he was right.
Yeah, exactly. Can you see that happening? I can totally see that happening.
Yeah. And he didn't want to say anything once everybody went along with it. He's like, oh, maybe it is right.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to say anything. You say something. I'm not saying anything.
Right. Yeah.
It's probably right anyway. Okay. A revelation about Jack alters the course of Cars, life forever, and uncovers a truth of threatens every soul in the Federation. The final battle begins as Picard and his career race to save the galaxy from annihilation. I haven't read this yet. But not without a gut-wrenching cost.
Wow.
I like that the final battle begins as Picard and his career. Like, what does that mean? I'm not sure. What does that mean?
Well, his career's on the line.
But it's like career race. Like, is he racing for his career or is there a specific race that he encounters in the course of his career?
Right. The race of his career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thinking about the episode, I don't know what the gut-wrenching cost was. Like, Jack took off. Brooke Crusher said, you know, I lost Wesley to the stars, and so I held Jack closer.
I got what I wanted, didn't I?
Yeah. Which apparently you also got before. It just wasn't in the same episode, and so people were yelling at you about it. Yelling at us about it.
Well, I think that in terms of this episode, the gut-wrenching cost might be Captain Dick. He died.
Oh.
Although Picard doesn't know that he died.
Right.
But it doesn't make sense. That's not that gut-wrenching.
No.
I mean, he was still my favorite character, but, he.
Yeah.
I love that scene where he's about to die and Captain Dick bequeaths control or transfers the captainship over to Seven of Nine.
Uh-huh.
And if I were Seven of Nine, I would have been like, I understand the gesture. You're about to die. But the ship has just been taken over by a boy. So
I don't really want it.
Yeah, it's not exactly. It's not exactly the best parting gift, if you ask me.
Or maybe he's doing it on purpose. He's like,
one final jab.
Yeah. He's like, hey, you wanted this ship. Now it's Borg, Seven of Nine. Take it.
Suck my balls. It's funny though, this whole thing, watching the whole time, there was no musical number at all, as we were promised.
Yeah, I was confused by that. Like, I was thinking maybe it's like Hamilton where everybody's like talk rapping and I'm just not catching the rhymes.
Well, if it was Hamilton, you wouldn't really be able to understand what they were saying.
Pardon
maybe.
Me. Are you Seven of Nine? Nine. So you speak German. I'm also German.
Keep going.
I got
see
nothing.
How far we can take this. Yeah. I like that he's saying, oh, so you speak German. I'm going to continue in English.
I didn't say he spoke German. I said he was also German.
What are we talking about?
The musical episode and what was lacking.
So they pulled a 1-2 punch. They play a little dirty on us.
What else is new, right?
Here's how they played dirty. So the whole scenario, the whole sequence with Troy and with Jack, where she's leading him down the hallway to open the door.
Mm-hmm.
The last episode, they ended with him, with her just opening the door.
Right.
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 But they skipped over this whole long 10-minute scene of him sort of working up to opening the door. I don't like this type of thing where they wanted a really good cliffhanger, but then, oh, there's 10 minutes more of episode before we actually get to that part. I feel like that's dirty.
Oh, well, I feel like they also justified it by showing us. So they cut out that clip of him like talking about the plants in the last episode for her to open the door. And so we got that. But then it cut right after she opened the door and she was like, I have to go. I'm sorry. And then they showed the clip of what she saw when she opened the door. So like the episode kind of said, like, we're going to show you more later in that moment. So it kind of retroactively retconned
what happened.
Yeah, right. That was retroactively slash retconned. That was not.
Right. Yeah. And then there's this moment where when she's relaying this to Picard and they have that speech that Locutus gives, you know, kind mm-hmm. of speaking for the Borg
mm-hmm.
back in whatever the name of that was.
Wait, I got to back up a little bit, though, because Troy said something about symbols and meaning. And it was such a stupid line that was supposed to sound deep, like a mutual friend we have who makes those comments.
Yeah, it's the part where she says symbols always have meaning.
Yeah, like symbols yeah. are nothing but meaning. Like if you see something that symbolizes something, that's because it's referencing and meaning something else.
Right, it's not a symbol if it's just a thing.
Yeah, that right. Then it's a noun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, she opens the door and she sees Borg. And it's this huge, terrifying thing that has been the huge, terrifying thing through season 2 and part of season 1, where they had the dead Borg ship. And, you know, this was the plot of First Contact. It just, the Borg have lost so much threat that it felt like the writers were trying to figure out ways to deal with the Borg. But, or like that's all they knew about Star Trek was that the Borg is a big threat, so let's keep using the Borg. Like it feels right. very tired that every season has had the Borg in Picard. And I understand how, like, I mean, they keep talking about Locutus, how Picard is like this podcast inextricably linked to the Borg, but there's more to Picard than the Borg?
Well, it's an easy go-to because it's Picard's one weakness, aside from his mother, which we learned about.
Right.
Was that season 1 or season 2? I can't remember.
That was season 2.
Season 2.
Yeah. Yeah. The time travel.
Yeah, yeah, which he dealt with. So that's gone again.
Right.
But it seems like that's the only way to get to Picard is through the Borg. Because, and I actually kind of like the way they did it, because there was this moment in First Contact, the movie, where the Borg are attacking planet Earth and Picard shows up in the Enterprise and he looks at somebody, I think it's Troy, and he says, I can hear them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, wait a minute, how can you hear them? You don't have any Borg implants. And it was just sort of a thing where it's like, oh, he's in some way connected to them. It wasn't necessary for the plot to happen. It was just sort of a nice little moment.
Yeah.
That they never thought about ever again.
Right.
It wasn't logged away in some encyclopedia. It was just, that's just the moment. And now they are explaining that, why he was able to hear them before. It was like this weird direct reference to First Contact.
Well, yeah. And it's nice because it is filling in that plot hole slash continuity error. And it's nice because it is something that was nobody really thought about or cared about. You know, it was just like, hey, the movie's good. Like, let's just accept that scene. And now here, like you said, they're explaining why he was able to hear them, even though all of his Borg implants were gone. You know, he was right. actually a conduit to evolve the Borg into organic linking.
And I'll bet you if we watched the Best of Both Worlds, I doubt there's ever a line in there where they say, oh, we got rid of all your implants. They probably say something more vague where we were able to remove the Borg, blah, 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 from you or something like mm-hmm. that, where there's maybe some room in there where you could say, oh, there's something left in him they couldn't find. There's just, you know, because they always kind of paint the Borg and the Borg technology as this very elusive thing that can't really be extracted once you're assimilated.
Right.
Like they kind of proved that with Seven of Nine. So I was okay. I was always okay with it. I was always okay with the mystique of the Borg and the mystique of the assimilation process that he would say, oh, I can hear them, like, oh, he's never going to get rid of the Borg. Mm-hmm. That's never going to happen, right? That's always going to be a scar. So I was always fine with it. But now they explained it. And I'm actually pretty cool with the way that they explained it.
Yeah.
It was, that's sort of the science fiction element of this episode.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And it's kind of, you know, what Trek has been missing. Well, and what the episodes miss when they don't have it, which is, you know, so kind of like, they didn't say exactly that, but they said, you know, Crusher talked about how animals communicate without language all the time. And she gave a couple examples. Right. You know, so yeah, I was down with it too.
I felt like her example though didn't quite. It wasn't a good analog or analogy.
Well,
because
right, yeah. The bird one was visible, right? But there was another one that she said where I was like, oh yeah,
yeah. It was like the beehive. Mm, it's like the beehives aren't reprogramming the DNA of the other bees, so they will do what they need them to do, right?
Right.
So, but I understood the sentiment. Yep. It was good. It was like a good way. Here's the thing I don't like about this whole bomb drop of the plot of this whole season of the plans of the changelings and the Borg is that it happened in like 20 minutes. And it felt like this should be something that is half the season of them slowly coming to terms with. Like, because before it was like, oh, the changelings are doing something. We don't know what they can do, but they're so much more advanced now. And then that was the mystery for several episodes. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know why. And it wasn't a continuing mystery. It was just, that's the mystery. And now they just dumped all this other information on us.
Right.
Which I was fine with. I like that. I like being dumped on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Jesse's.
But it just felt, I wanted to kind of live in it for a while of them sort of coming to terms with this crazy revelation, which is huge. But I didn't have time because they had to get through it because they needed to be done with this episode.
Right.
I just wanted it to, you know, I felt like if they could have split this episode into two.
Maybe, so you're kind of saying maybe make the Borg not a sudden revelation and a pressing issue, but kind of them realizing that the Borg were involved somehow?
Well, you save the Borg for the big reveal. That's the bomb drop. But in terms of them reprogramming Picard's DNA and what that means for the transporters and them using the transporters to basically assimilate people.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Like that could have been discovered early on by Geordi or something like that, or Data or something like that. Like I felt like that was just all, we didn't know any of that until this episode.
Right, and that's something we and, love, but yeah.
Yeah, it felt like it was rushed, but I'm not going to complain. It was a good solution, I felt like, to get the Borg back in because we love Borg and Data's doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's wrestling with Geordi.
Yeah, man. But real Data, like this Data 2.0 is very pessimistic.
Yeah, I laughed at his joke. I liked it.
Okay. But yeah, going back to that Lost, like where Jack is super stressed about everything, and he says, "What did she see?" And Picard's like, "Jack, there are." You know, and he just cuts him off and he's just like, tell me what she's.
I know. And then you hear.
And he's back at the bar.
There was a point where I thought they were going to go back to the bar. I thought it was going to happen.
But yeah, like even after he agrees to like just tell him what he saw or tell him what she saw, like he kind of sighs and he sits down. Tells him a story of the information that the audience already knows.
I know, they do this all the time in the show. By the way, he wasn't sighing. He was just out of breath after I had to sit down.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do this all the time. And it's always between Jack and Picard or Jack or Beverly and Picard, where they're just always updating the characters of stuff we already know. Like we talked about this last time. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just come into the scene? And that's what we know, right? That's all we need because we already know that.
Yeah. After watching that episode, like I know that we still have one more episode to go and I'm going to be so pissed if this is like the Prodigy episode or, you know, the typical sci-fi trope where they find Jack and, you know, Beverly is like, please, I love you, you're my son. Or, you know, Picard gets in his face and is like, I know you're in there.
That would suck. Yeah, you're right. I would hate that. He's known him. I mean, how long has Picard known Jack at this point? A week?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Ish.
It's hard to know how much time has passed with this stuff.
Well, but. And so, I mean, even along those lines, like, that's my next note. Like, protocol, he says protocol dictates we act on the interest of everyone else. But this season started with that's where Captain Shaw's position was. And Picard was like, he's my son.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and
that seems so long ago, by the way, like the first episode of the season.
Right. But yeah, so I was super irritated by that, like, 180 on his stance on protocol.
Well, it's what we had to do. I mean, it's a good protocol.
It is a good protocol, and it was a good protocol eight episodes ago.
But we don't know how long ago that was. You know, that could have been years ago. Things happen. So there's a point where Jack, or rather Picard, tries to convince Jack to go to this Vulcan institution.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed like a pretty good deal. I don't know why he wouldn't elect to go have the Vulcans remove the Borg influence from him. They made it seem like it was some sort of torture, insane asylum or something like that. But I don't think that that's the Vulcan way anymore. I would think that this would be something that you would just go do, and they would do it with, what is it called, a mind meld, and then you're done. It just didn't make sense that he would reject that.
That's an interesting point. I didn't think about the mind meld, but the thing is, you know, they were talking about how he's an anomaly and they don't know how this is working, so they would have to study him to try to figure it out. And as we saw earlier this episode, to study changelings, you know, that was not a pleasant experience.
That's true. That's a good point. But Jack knows the Borg, obviously.
Right.
He characterizes them as we all know them. It's not like the Borg is a new thing for him. And I don't really know what his plan is or what his plan was when he escaped. I don't know what his plan is now. He decided to beam aboard the Borg ship and just with a gun raised and just start shooting people. I don't know what he's thinking he's going to be doing.
Well, I think the idea, at least what he thought he was going to be doing, is going and actually killing the Borg Queen. And I think that this was him kind of justifying his return to the collective in his mind. Like, you know what I mean?
He knew he had to go do it, but he didn't want to tell himself that he was just turning himself into the Borg. He was under, you know, ostensibly trying to defeat them when in reality he was just going to surrender anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Maybe that would be interesting. I mean, that would be a very interesting, if that truly is the incentive for him or the intention for him, that would be very interesting because they don't talk about that.
Right.
But it is like, you could definitely extrapolate from his actions. That's what happened. Cause he didn't put up much of a fight. She was right there. He could have just started shooting.
Well, yeah. And she even says, like, you know, if you were going to kill me, you would have done it by now type thing.
Right. If somebody said that to me and I was holding a gun to them, that would just make me want to shoot them.
Right.
Even if I wasn't going to shoot them.
Yeah. Well, now I just like, want to. Right.
Now I just want to. Yeah,
exactly. Well, and I think that's kind of where the scream came from. You know, it was like him kind of trying to refuse her, but also realizing she was right. Like, that's why, like, that scene is what makes me think that was what the whole situation was.
Right.
You know, he's like, yeah.
I thought, so when Jack escapes in the runabout, what is that thing called?
The shuttle?
The shuttle, yeah. Just thought of that right now. So he escapes in the shuttle, and it cuts to Picard and Beverly watching him escape in the shuttle. Mm-hmm. And so they both had to run to a window so they could watch this. And it cuts to them, and there was this vibe of, I thought the next line was going to be, I hope this works, Beverly.
Mm.
This is my son, right?
Right.
I totally thought that was going to happen, like a Star Wars-esque Vader, you know.
Right.
They're following. They planted something on. Like, but they didn't. They just had another Picard conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. About how now she's
how
lost
cool would that have been if they were like going to track the Borg Queen?
Well, yeah, it would have shown what Riker was talking about, how Picard actually was two or three steps ahead and he's got them on the ropes.
Yeah.
We would have seen that Picard that Riker was talking about. But okay, so going to what people come to our podcast for, do you know why the Borg are hiding? Like, why they're this...
I don't know. I don't understand. Where the hell is Borgness?
Yeah. They, I mean, that's what that throwaway line with Captain Shaw was, you know, like that thing that happened with the Borg way over there, like that's not the Borg we know.
They need to provide some clarity on this, because at the end of season two, I had the impression that Agnes had effectively reformed the Borg into
right.
being at least not quite as terrible of a race,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Right. It was more too genuinely better and not just blindly assimilate. Yeah.
Right. And it seemed like when she showed up at the end of the season, Borgness, that had happened. She was the queen.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So who is this? Like, who is this new person who isn't Borgness? It actually sounds a lot like the actress who played the original Borg queen in Final Frontier. Not Final Frontier. Well, she was in it. You just couldn't see her. In First Contact.
She was in the court scene.
And because it sounded like her, mm-hmm, you know, it mm-hmm. kind of had that. But of course, so did the Voyager version of the Borg Queen.
I did also like that the episode referenced our conversation about closed captions. Remember when I was talking about the voice that was off screen and the closed caption said Beverly?
Right. Yep.
And
I actually check every single time he has a voice in his head now. I check the captions, see if there's a little back of the book answer.
Right. Yeah. But he said, like, all this time I thought it was you. And, you know, so even either the closed captions, like we said, just didn't care and it just happened to work out that way, or they were able to watch the entire series and, like, kind of go back and
retcon? I know you want to say it.
Well, no, I mean, I wanted to say retroactively, but like the episode wouldn't have been aired before. So they just went back before the episode aired and changed the voiceovers to, instead of saying like female voice, to actually change it to Beverly.
Right. That's a good point. And they could probably change the closed captioning now if they wanted to.
Right.
You know, they have to go re-edit stuff.
Yeah. But I didn't. Yes, there's Borgness out there, and you know, Shaw kind of already said the real Borg is out there, but I don't understand why the Borg is hiding in this cloud, kind of waiting, looming, and or licking their wounds, or you know, whatever they're doing. Like, you know, the Borg should be a threat that is just kind of out there, and they know not to go that far, and occasionally, like, either Borg will come in and they'll test the defensiveness of Starfleet, and Starfleet will go out and attack Borg to see, you know, are they still as strong as they were? Are they stronger? You know, that kind of thing. Like, it was weird to me that they were sitting in this nebulous cloud just waiting, doing nothing.
I had the impression, well, okay, so if I was going to guess, this won't be what it is.
Okay.
But if I was going to guess, I would say this is some time traveling Borg of some kind, where it's not endemic to this new Borgness reality, and or something like that, because they did talk about some sort of conduit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Subspace conduit. So who knows? I mean, maybe they'll explain it at a certain point. I have a feeling Borgness is going to show up.
Right. That'd be great. Great way to tie it all together.
It'll be sort of a Avengers style where they're shooting energy at each other out of their hands.
Just they're standing there facing each other as the little tentacle nanotubes are just...
But the tentacles are holding like swords.
Right.
And they're just sword fighting.
Did you have more to say about that?
No, that's the only way I can explain it in my head.
So that actually ties into my next note/confusion question. The outcome of this plan of putting the Borg connection into Picard's DNA and rewriting the Starfleet transporter code to include Picard's DNA in the recalibration of everyone under the age of 25, like, requires so long term of planning that it almost feels like a Bill and Ted situation where future Borg came back. You know, kind of circular origins, where future Borg comes back to present Borg and says, you have to do this with Picard, so in 35 years, we can do this.
I don't think, I mean, I could see the Borg being this devious. It doesn't, it's not out of the character of the Borg to do something like this. I like that it's this long game that they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
But 30 years ago, I mean, this is where the Borgness stuff doesn't make sense, is that the Borg were changed entirely when the Borg Queen and Agnes teamed up.
Right, you know? Like 400 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
So where is the disconnect?
So it actually does make sense that there would be two separate Borg if Borgness never left the Alpha Quadrant, because like they were there to build up their own Borg, but the Borg was still happening over in the Gamma Quadrant or wherever it was.
I mean, I guess there are two queens at that point,
mm-hmm.
because the Borg Queen comes back in time with them. But you'd think that they'd merge up at a certain point, that there couldn't be two queens in the universe, because they have the conduits and stuff and they can travel wherever they want in the universe. I get the sense that the Borg are very mobile
mm-hmm.
in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess this is all, I mean, this is all conjecture until they have a scene that explains it, which we won't get.
Right, yeah.
It's just this kind of silhouetted villain Borg now that we have again.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, it obviously is a queen.
Right.
Or the queen.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
In next week's episode.
Right. In the last episode. You know, this is stuff that should have been kind of like what you were saying, you know, peeling layers and revealing more and more with each episode, and not just yanking the mask off at the very end.
Right. I hope it's not just a bunch of battling and shooting. I hope there's a little bit of, I hope it's not that. And I also hope it's not of like what they did last season, where it's all happening in their mind and they all have to kind of come to terms with whatever problems they have internally before they can defeat the Borg externally.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's not that. That's boring.
Right. Yeah.
So, and they already did it. So I hope it's something else.
Well, they already did the Borg too, twice.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. We like the Borg.
I know you are. I know. I like the Borg too. It's just there are so many other villains and conflicts that these seasons could have been, and not just the Borg more than half the time, two out of three times.
Yeah, but the problem is Star Trek was never able to come up with a Borg, with a villain that was like the Borg. I was going to compare it to Terminator, where it's no matter what you do, they will always come. They're mm-hmm. always going to get up and chase you, right?
Yeah.
So that's hard to create, and that's what they developed, you know, and then mm-hmm. never came up with a better version. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, aside from kind of the first season, where it was this advanced technology alien threat from across the galaxy, from across the universe, they haven't been able to have the Borg as a single threat since First Contact. You know, this was, the second season was Borg and Q. This is Borg and the Changelings. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this ends. One final note that I have, two quick notes. The computer was very specific when Geordi asked for Alondra, and it said the life signs of Alondra are no longer compatible with human designation.
Why are you answering a question I didn't ask?
Right. Yeah. Like,
yeah, they were doing a little bit of work there. They're having the computer do a little bit of work there.
Yeah.
I thought the computer was going to say she's no longer on the ship.
Right.
She no longer exists or something.
Yeah. 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 It was very specific. And then just the last note, the Worf's last line, first off, you know, exactly what you have said. He is nothing but comic relief trying to be the straight man. All of his jokes.
Yep. All of them.
All of his lines, not even his jokes. Like every line is a joke. And
they're not funny. Because nobody laughed at them.
Well, right. And the writers are making Worf tell jokes without Worf realizing he's telling jokes. And so the way, I mean, Michael Dorn's delivering them as best he can, and he's doing a great job with it, but they're just, he now seems to be the oblivious character, you know, of saying things that are inappropriate.
Yeah. He's almost the new Data.
Yeah. That's actually what my note is. His line about weapons array should have been from Data. That is more along his lines.
But Data's now just another guy. He's mm-hmm. he's like Data's uncle.
Well, he's Guy. Like, that's how I'm seeing him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. If he lives through this, he's going to just be having sex with everybody, I think.
Right. Well, yeah. And I wonder actually now if, like, if he can feel that.
Well, I mean, maybe. I guess he was just a dildo before, and now he's actually like can participate in the fun.
Yeah.
I didn't understand. There was a point where they were about to the reveal of the Enterprise D, and somebody says, "Well, we couldn't use the E," and everybody looks at Worf, and he says, "That wasn't my fault." Was there? What are they talking about? Do you know what they're talking about, or is that just a joke?
Yeah, I just took that as lore.
Lore.
Yeah, something that lore did. You know, nobody really talks about it anymore. Just expanded universe stuff. I don't know if there actually was anything with Worf and the Enterprise E.
I feel like there's got to be something. They just made something up for the sake of a joke.
I mean, unless there's something that happens in Insurrection.
No, nothing happens in Insurrection with their ship. Okay, so rewinding a little bit.
Yep.
So the new Enterprise that comes out during, what's it called, Federation Day or Patriot Day? It looks a lot like Voyager.
Right? Yeah.
Maybe that's the new style. I like Voyager. I like the design.
It's a type of class of ship. So,
the Voyager class?
Yeah. I don't think that's what it's called, but yeah.
I threw it out there. I feel like it was a non-zero chance that it would be called the Voyager class.
Right.
But yeah, so I just felt like, oh, this is interesting that they're kind of going that way. Because it's like a science vessel. Is Voyager a science vessel?
I think so, yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Doesn't matter. It gets blowed up anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Or it's going to. They're going to destroy it, right?
Yep. And that was, I think, Admiral Shelby in this episode. And
yeah, she was commanding it, I guess, because she was the commanding officer on board, right? What do they call it? High ranking?
Yeah.
So I did hear, though, when all of the ships were sort of going into formation, there was a USS Pulaski.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard.
Oh, nice. I missed that.
Yeah. I wonder if she's still, is she commanding her own ship at 172 years old?
Well, but also I wonder what she did to earn a moniker on a ship.
Yep. I could have just misheard it too, but I was pretty sure.
Right.
I think it's probably just a reference. They threw it out there, right?
Well, yes, but now that it's canon, like, why?
Yeah. No, they don't care. This is the last one. This is the last episode. So they think.
Right. Right. Well, yeah. The latest rumblings is that there's going to be a Picard movie.
Just do another season.
Right.
It's going to take the exact same amount of time to shoot.
Yeah. I think the idea is more eyes, you know, more revenue.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant there'd be like more people in the movie, like more eyes. I don't know why I thought that. <That's>
No, stupid. It's Star Trek Picard.
Oh, got it. It was great to hear Majel Barrett's computer voice on the Enterprise, restored Enterprise D.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty good.
Yep. Yep, nice little callback
touch.
There. Yeah.
I did feel like I appreciated how much they were kind of basking in the Enterprise D bridge and everything, because they probably spent a lot of money recreating it. And, you know, I understand. But I felt like there's a little bit too much pomp in it.
Well, right? Yes. And
just enough circumstance, but too much pomp.
I like, it's such an ineffectual way to turn on the lights, if that's what happens when Geordi says, "Geordi, light," or, you know, "computer, lights." And
you gotta wait 15 minutes for everything to like power on
at
a time.
Yeah. Like one panel spreads across and then another panel spreads across.
I feel like that was for Geordi, though. Like, he didn't ever think this was going to go into battle. So he was like, "I'm going to make it look cool."
That's fair.
When it turns on.
That's
for
totally
all
fair.
The people who come look at it.
And I didn't like the time between it. And I mean, you know, it may have just been wanting to have the scene presented this way, but where Picard says, "Set a course for whatever," and set a course for the Daystrom Institute, and and then he says, "Engage," and then it goes outside of the ship, and the ship like changes course and slowly turns directions before hitting warp.
Right. That just shows you that nobody really listens to Picard anymore.
Right. We get there when
like,
we get there. Right.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I liked it. It was fun because I felt like they were trying their best to be as accurate as possible.
Yes.
Everybody sat down in their chairs, and I felt like everybody on the bridge was not phoning it in and not overdoing it too. Like there's a way you could overdo it to mock it a little bit.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that.
But like they must have had the discussion before, you know, because when Picard's like, okay, to your stations, like why didn't Crusher go, okay, should Troy and I both sit in the same seat? Like where do you want either of us?
I guess I'll go into a sick bay by myself.
Right, exactly.
And Geordi doesn't sit at the front. I mean, he did originally, but that's not his station. He would be in engineering.
Yeah, exactly. And Worf takes off, goes to Deep Space Nine.
Well, I like that. Everybody get to the stations. And then you see Geordi look around and be like, oh, okay. And then we take literally 5 minutes of him running through the hallways of him trying to get to engineering. Right. Like you stop the music and you wait for him to get there. And he goes like, okay, I'm here. And then the music starts back up again. And they go. Yeah. You just keep just endless hallways. Right. Endless.
Well, yeah, the camera keeps, you know, going to one end of the hallway. So you see him coming from a distance and rounding the corner and...
He's running as hard as he can.
Which, again, is dumb because they have transporters.
But they never use them that often inside the ship, from like ship to ship or site to site transport. By the way, site to site is like what they do all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. There should
always
be some other
one
word,
place like, to another place. Like that's how transporters work.
Yeah. Right?
Even if it's from the transporter pad, that's a site.
Right. If you're literally going from one pad to another. Do you think that's how they test them? That would be kind of cool.
How?
Just if like when they're testing it before the ship launches, you'd literally just transport somebody through each transport pad.
They do that sometimes. We see them play around with it where they're transporting inanimate objects.
Right.
And you get the impression that they're testing something. Mm-hmm. It always comes out all mangled and stuff.
Right.
The amount of time that stuff comes out mangled in the transporter, it makes me not want to use it.
I mean, statistically speaking, it's still the safest way to travel.
That's true. Is it?
I don't.
Though?
In an imaginary world with an imaginary transport system? Sure.
Would Superman use a transporter? Probably not. I'd say no.
I guess it depends on the distance. It might genuinely be faster. No, I don't think a transporter can go that far.
He can go pretty fast.
I know.
Dude.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, a transporter cannot go far enough that it would take longer for Superman to fly than it would to transport.
Well, even if it took like a few more seconds to fly, you're just taking risks, right? You know?
Right.
Just fly.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a tried and true transportation right there.
Exactly. Well, and yeah. And he doesn't tire when he flies.
Right. And somebody says, well, don't you want to just transport? We're all going there. I mean, to get you outside of the ship is kind of a pain in the ass, Superman. Like, we don't really have an airlock. I guess you could go down to, what's it called, the bay, you know, where they let the ships go out.
Right. And still.
It's like, sorry, it's kind of my thing. God, yeah. He has to walk. Like, Superman doesn't run that often.
Right.
It's like birds running. He's like, no need. I just fly, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be funny if he was trying to fly through the hallways and finally gets tired of it and just busts through all the walls and just leaves.
Right.
This is ridiculous.
Right. I mean, and using his super speed, he can probably smash through the wall and seal it up faster than it does any damage.
That's true.
So the ship just has scars everywhere.
Yeah, he's on a no entry list.
Right.
Don't let him in. He'll regret it.
But again, like, not that can stop him.
No, he's like a vampire. If you don't invite him in, he won't.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, that classic tale.
Hey, they're always looking for new mashups. There it is.
Right. Yeah.
Although I'm sure there's a comic out there where he has to battle vampires.
I don't know. I know Batman has. I don't know if Superman ever has. That would be interesting. Anyway.
I have to ask, speaking of Superman,
okay,
have I asked you this before about the Flash? Are his legs just super strong and that's why he can run super fast? Or is there something else going on?
There is something else. There has become something else going on. He is part of what's called the Speed Force. Yeah, canonically, like, originally, no. But as Flash has gone on and people have, like, questioned how these things happen more and more and, like, want there to be more verisimilitude and not just park your brain and enjoy, they have developed what's called a Speed Force.
Because before, it would seem like his legs would just be giant things.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or there's some kind of, like, time dilation.
Okay. I'm glad we settled that.
Right. Glad I was able to answer that for you. You really should leave this part in.
I know. Yeah. But what did you think about it when they were all, when the music was blaring and all of the beauty shots were happening? Did you think it, they were going, like they went a step too far?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
With it?
It wasn't to the point of Lower Deck seeing the Cerritos for the fourth time where they were sending up the motion picture, I think. Or maybe it was Star Trek 2.
It was like the motion picture along with the J.J. Abrams aesthetic, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was a little bit too much. I mean, kind of what you said. There was just a little bit too much of appreciation of Geordi's work and like the camera showing that as well and not just the crew reacting to it. It would have been kind of fun if they did what they did with the Goonies, and I don't know if they did this or not, where they didn't let the kids see the ship until it was being filmed.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
And that'd have been cool.
Yeah.
But Picard's a producer. I mean, they're all producers on it probably, so they wouldn't, I mean, I guess they could be like, no, just don't come in. It'll be fun if we just turn it on and we get capture reaction.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I would like to go in there. Maybe they should keep that and sell tickets to it.
Now that it's a thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Lord of the Rings thing. Mm-hmm. They make so much money in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. It's like a theme park now.
Right.
There was a jump there I made that I don't know if people might have followed, that they didn't put the Star Trek thing in New Zealand.
No, I got you. But there's also a town from Popeye as well that's still there.
Really?
Yeah.
From like the Robin Williams one?
Yes. I don't think they ever made a dark, gritty reboot.
That would have been great. Starring Leonardo DiCaprio as Popeye.
Or Jason Statham.
Actually, he would probably be a good Popeye, wouldn't he?
Who?
Jason Statham.
Yeah, I think Leonardo DiCaprio should be Bluto.
He's going to have to do a lot of work. A lot of work on that one. I felt like this was a proper Star Trek episode, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, it had the science fiction stuff with all the DNA stuff. I mean, they kind of jumped around with it, but I felt like they spent enough time on it mm-hmm. that it meets the criteria.
Yeah.
And it was novel. That was a new thing.
Right. And there was enough speculation on it and trying to explain how it was possible and how it worked that, yeah, they sat with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a one and done Voyager thing.
Right. Yeah. And I don't even remember there being technobabble. You know, I think that it was just...
There kind of was, yeah. I mean, like a little bit.
Yeah, but...
They felt like they didn't have time.
Right, they almost immediately went into the comparison. So,
yeah, and where's Rafi?
She was on the crew. She was there. She was on the bridge.
Was she on the bridge?
I'm pretty sure. I remember seeing her. Maybe she's... No, because Seven was there too. Yeah, she was there. Which does make...
Oh, no, she stays back. Sorry. She wasn't on the Enterprise D bridge. She stays back on the Enterprise, on the Titan.
Right.
Why did they stay back on the Titan?
I don't know.
They said there was a line of like, I know I'm going to stay here.
Right.
And they're like, no, you go ahead. There's not enough time. And then you're like, what are you talking about? We're like 7 feet from the door.
Right.
Like we could have dragged, they could have dragged Captain Dick into the shuttlecraft and left.
Mm-hmm.
What is with doors in this show? It's like if doors close, there's like a locking mechanism that's like, no, sorry, it doesn't open for another hour.
Right. No, I'm sorry. That's it.
Yeah. You know, we've gone through our opening ration for the day.
Yeah, it could only open and close one time.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, but the ethical dilemma, I felt like, was Picard.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
That's it. I lost my train of thought, and I thought that you'd be like, oh yeah, and then fill in the gaps, and it didn't happen.
Oh, no, I was waiting to hear why you say that it's like not anything about Picard, just Picard in general.
Just Picard, yeah. Just, yeah. Was the person or the show? We don't know. I think, no, it was about whether or not to turn in Jack. Like Picard's, like he had to make a decision. It was a pretty quick decision, granted, but whether or not to try and help Jack or to bring him into custody so he doesn't do anything rash or hurt somebody. Because there's a whole scene they talk about it.
Right. Yeah, okay, before he went to go talk to him. Yeah, I'll buy that. But I still don't buy that once he found out that Jack was his son, he was like, forget protocol. Like, we're doing everything we can to save this one person. And then when he found out that Jack had Borg in him, he was like, forget that you're my son. We have to follow protocol.
What they should have done was Captain Dick should have gotten involved and said, no, we're not doing this again. We just got out of that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And he took control, right? He ordered them to take control of Jack. And so it was out of Picard's hands or something like that. I don't know.
I like that.
Was he dead by then? No, he was still alive at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, proper Star Trek episode.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah, right before the end.
And I probably would watch this episode again. Like, I felt like I'm sure we missed something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that there was, yeah. I would like to, this is actually a season where I would like to go back and watch once I know the end and kind of see how well it holds up.
Yeah, but that's 10 hours.
Right?
Yeah, 10 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When we have.
Discovery?
Discovery. Way behind on that. Way behind on Discovery.
Yeah.
Just so the listeners know, we set a deadline. We're not going to tell you when that is because we're not going to meet it, but we set a deadline for ourselves. It is coming.
When it comes, that was our deadline.
Yeah. We met it.
We made it.
At that point.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I've been Paul.
I've been Jonathan.
And this has been The Measure of an Episode.
But you already knew that.
Was that Captain Dick?